I have to tell you that I am very, very happy to be here this evening. I want to start off by apologizing to you. We were supposed to be here last year, and I don't know if you recall, I would imagine my person that invited me mentioned something to you. But last year, the reason why we weren't able to make it is because my wife was at Loma Linda Medical Center suffering the effects of cancer. And she was getting to a point where things were not looking very good. So I called Pastor Gomez and told him that I was really, really sorry that I wasn't going to be able to make it. And being the good, faithful, Minuteman Seventh-day Adventist that we should be, he took the helm and took my place. I'm sorry to say that my wife passed away. She passed away August 31st of last year. So it is something that the devil is using a lot to try to keep me down, to try to keep me discouraged, to try to keep me disappointed. But, and to be honest with you, in the past 2 weeks, I will tell you that he has attacked me emotionally pretty much as he attacked me the very first week that my wife was gone. But I am thankful that I can be here with you today. And even though my wife is not with us, I did bring my two daughters with me. Unfortunately, when we left Loma Linda, we thought we weren't going to get any traffic, but we got a little bit more traffic than we expected. And so we got here just in the nick of time. They didn't have time to, you know how women are, to put themselves together. They need 3 hours just to work on one eye. But my daughters should be showing up shortly, and hopefully they will. I want to congratulate you for what you are doing in this church, for the event that is going on, preparing for eternity. And everything that Pastor Gomez was saying is absolutely true. We are at the edge of eternity, folks. We really are. And if there is one thing that I believe Satan is going to use to try to keep us out of heaven is to keep our minds preoccupied and to keep us so busy with just everyday things that we forget about God. So I'm going to ask that you take what is going to take place in this week or 2 weeks. I don't know how long this is going on, but take it serious. When I received the invitation, of course, like anyone that is going to preach, you don't want to just talk about anything. You want to make sure that the Lord gives you exactly the messages that he wants you to receive. So I'm trusting that what you're going to hear this weekend is exactly what the Lord wants you to hear. But before we do, I'm going to ask that we please stand as we reverence the reading of God's word. And open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and to be honest with you, I don't think that any of you should even have to open the Bible. We're going to start reading from verse number 9. You should know this by memory. We are going to read the Lord's Prayer. Let us read together. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to ask that you please remain standing. We have a custom at my church, and that is that before we begin any sermon, I don't care if it's the sermon that the pastor is going to give, a sermon that I'm going to give, or a guest, we always sing a hymn. Now get used to it, because we're going to do this weekend. If you don't know this hymn, learn it, because it is appropriate right before any sermon. So if you want to go ahead and get that music going, it's the hymn called Break Thou the Bread of Life. That's not it. That's not the song. You don't have it? Okay, no problem. That's too bad. We're going to do it tomorrow. Go ahead and have a seat. Pastor Gomez had mentioned to you a little while ago that I had told him that the devil is already attacking. One of the ways that he is attacking is that the outline that I had for today's message, when I got to the hotel, couldn't find it anywhere. I cannot find it anywhere. So I wrote some things down, things that I remembered. So I'm hoping that the Lord is going to bring to my memory the things that I need to say this evening. Please bow your heads with me as we pray. Loving Father, we are so thankful that you have brought us through another week and that we are at the edge of your Sabbath. We thank you, Father, for giving us your Sabbath. And we thank you for the opportunity that we have now to be in your sanctuary. As we have gathered here, Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit and ask, Lord, that you will refresh our minds and give us a new heart. Help us to be receptive, Lord, to what I believe you have given me for your people today. For I ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You will probably notice that Pastor Gomez and I are very similar, because if I remember, he is one that cannot preach from the pulpit. I can't either. If I'm behind a pulpit, I feel like a caged animal. I have to be walking around, so get used to it. If I were to ask you this evening, to picture in your mind Jesus Christ, I don't think any of you would have a problem picturing in your mind Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, do it. Right now, in your mind, try to see a portrait of Jesus Christ. I would venture to say that one or several of you are picturing Jesus Christ right now carrying a lamb. Maybe some of you are picturing Jesus Christ in that picture that most of us have seen, where he is at the helm of a boat that is
in a sea that is about to sink. Maybe some of you are picturing Jesus hanging on a cross. Maybe some of you are picturing Jesus at Gethsemane. Maybe some of you are picturing Jesus sweating drops of blood. Maybe you are picturing him raising Lazarus from the dead. Maybe you are picturing him protecting you from something that you know he has protected you from. There are so many different pictures, so many different portraits of Jesus Christ that we could place in our minds. But church, have you ever had a portrait of Jesus like this? And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitudes said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Now here is the picture. Have you ever pictured Jesus like this? Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' and you have made it a den of thieves." I would venture to say that of all the portraits of Jesus Christ, this is one portrait that you have never thought of. Because we don't picture Jesus like this, but here is Jesus. He walks into the temple and he is so disgusted by what he sees, so bothered by what he sees, that in the temple, he starts overturning the tables and kicking everyone out of the sanctuary. And the thing about it is that this is not the first time that it happened. It happened before. And if you read the account of when it first happened, Jesus didn't only overturn the tables and kick people out. He was so bothered that he took time to make a whip of cords, the Bible says. And here comes Jesus walking into the sanctuary, so disgusted by what he sees that he has to kick people out of the sanctuary. And can you picture this? Jesus whipping people, telling them, "Get out of here. My house shall be called the house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves." Let me tell you what I find more astonishing about that. And that is that the people that he kicked out belong there. They belonged in the sanctuary. But he was so disgusted by what they were doing, he had to kick them out. You know, the spirit of prophecy in Desire of Ages says that when Jesus was doing this, you could hear his voice like a trumpet from one end of the temple to the other. And she goes on to say that that the look in his countenance was like a consuming fire. As I studied a little bit about this event, one thing became very clear to me. The main reason why Jesus Christ got upset and why he was disgusted by what was taking place in the sanctuary is because God's people, his people, brought something secular into a holy place. They brought something secular into a holy place. And if there is one thing that you and I need to be very sure of, that God cannot stomach, is when we mix that which is secular with that which is holy. It is very evident that God cannot and will not put up when his people mix that which is secular with that which is holy. So I started thinking about myself. How many times have I walked into the sanctuary on Sabbath morning? And I look right. I got my suit, I got my tie, I got my Bible, and I am telling everyone, happy Sabbath, my brother, happy Sabbath, my sister. But in my heart, I may be having a complete secular spirit. How many times have you walked into this sanctuary? And I want you to think about this. As a matter of fact, tomorrow morning when you walk in here, what kind of spirit are you going to have? Are you going to come in here with the attitude of, oh, it's another Sabbath, just like every other Sabbath. We're going to sing some songs, we're going to hear a sermon, and then we're going to go home. Well, tomorrow, no, we're going to come back because we're going to have a special event. How many of you walk into the sanctuary Sabbath after Sabbath with the mentality, with the attitude, with the thought, I am going to meet God? I would venture to say that if we are honest with ourselves, very few of us think that way. Very few of us think that way. Most of us come in here Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath with the mentality that it's just another Sabbath. We're going to do the same things that we do every single Sabbath. Oh, but I'm going to be able to greet the people that I haven't seen for a week. And I hope the potluck is good. I wonder, church, how many times have you or I walked into the sanctuary and because of the attitude that we have, because of the spirit that we have, God is up in his throne saying, if only my son was down there right now, he would kick all of you out, just like he did the money changers. Do not be fooled into thinking that just because you're here on Sabbath morning, oh, God is happy. If you're bringing in a secular attitude, if you're bringing in a secular mentality, don't think for one minute that any part of heaven is happy that you're here. I don't think that we should take that thought lightly. I honestly don't think that we should take that thought lightly.
I'm sure you've heard it said before. Going to church has become a spectator sport. It's become a spectator sport. People go to church to see what they can get out of it. And the number one thing that they want to get out of it is a good sermon. Give me a good sermon. You know, there are some churches that would say, no, that's not the number one thing. The number one thing is good music. I wonder how many church members would still go to church if there wasn't any music. The way churches are today, it's like the most important thing is music. I invited a co-worker of mine to church one day. And I was hoping that everything would go perfect. And everything went pretty well. And when we had him over at our home for Sabbath lunch, you know what he told me? He said, "Caesar, the church was nice. I liked it. But I have to be honest with you, I don't feel that I was at church. I feel that I was at a production. Because everything had to be with the music just right. But church, remember what Jesus said. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Oh, man. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Really? Really? How many of you actually believe when you come here on Sabbath morning or any other time, how many of you come here expecting to pray? I would venture to say that very few, if any of you, come in here expecting to pray. And yet God said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You would think today, if this was rewritten, it would say, my house shall be called the house of preaching. Or my house shall be called the house of music. Or my house shall be called the house of fellowship. Or, oh, my house shall be called the house of potluck. But how many of you come to church with the attitude that you're walking into a place that Jesus said its number one objective is to come to pray? Are you kidding me? We live in a time when people want to do anything but pray. You ask someone to get up and pray, it's like you're asking them to cut off their right arm. Oh, please, Pastor, I'd rather do scripture reading. Oh, let me introduce the speaker. The children's story, I'll do the children's story. They will do anything but pray. As a matter of fact, I know people that when it comes time to pray, not only do they not want to pray, they leave the sanctuary. They leave the sanctuary. They would rather do anything. What is there, church, about prayer that we are so afraid of?
Why are we so afraid of praying? Oh, unless we're in trouble. Unless we need $500. Unless they're about to cut off our light. If they're about to cut off our gas or the car's not starting. Or when you need something, oh, yes, then. Oh, God, please, please, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me. But then when you're in church, don't ask me to pray. Don't ask me to pray. Ask me to do anything but pray. What is there about prayer that we are so afraid of? Wednesday night, just about all churches, not only Seventh-day Adventist churches, but just about all churches have an event. What is that event called? Wednesday night prayer meeting. Wednesday night prayer meeting. You realize that most of our children are growing up Wednesday night what? Wednesday night what? Wednesday night prayer meeting. Do you know how many churches, how many Seventh-day Adventist churches are closed on Wednesday night because nobody shows up? It's Wednesday night prayer meeting. But I'll bet you if the Heritage Singers were there, it would be standing room only. If the King Heralds were there, standing room only. We have some musical program at church, standing room only, but get people to come to pray and you hear an echo in church. The theme is preparing for eternity. How in the world, church, do we ever expect to be prepared for eternity without prayer? Have you ever stopped to think that the New Testament church began not because people were preaching, but because people were praying? Have you ever stopped to think that God's remnant church began not because we were teaching the 2300 days, but because after the great disappointment, people got together to pray? When Saul was stopped on his road to Damascus, Jesus came to Ananias and told Ananias, I want you to go to this street called Straight. And I want you to go to this particular house. You're going to run into a man named Saul. And Saul tells Jesus, are you kidding me, Lord? Are you kidding me? Do you know who this Saul character is? Saul is nothing but trouble with a capital T. It's as if Jesus' response to Ananias was, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's safe to go. You know why? Because he prays. Come on, somebody get excited about that. The evidence that God gives Ananias that it's okay to go see Saul is not, he understands the sanctuary. It's not he can break down the 2300 days. It's not he understands the state of the dead. He prays. He prays. When you look at Revelation, when you look at the book of Revelation, I believe it's Revelation 4 or 5, you find the four living creatures and the 24 elders. You know what the 24 elders are holding in their hand? They're holding bowls, B-O-W-L-S. They're holding bowls. You know what's inside the bowls? Incense. Do you know what the incense represents? The prayers of the saints. My question, church, my question is, what is there about our prayers that God keeps them in a bowl? There's got to be something special about our prayers that he keeps them in a bowl. My brother, what is your name? You, sir, what is your name? Doug. Could you imagine God in heaven seeing a prayer of Doug coming up, and he tells Elder 10, go get Doug's prayer. Go get Doug's prayer. And the elder gets Doug's prayer and puts it in a bowl like a little baby. Man, that has got to tell you just how special our prayers are to God. But yet, who wants to pray? You would think that with everything that the Bible tells us about prayer, you would think that on Wednesday night we would be breaking down the doors to get in here just to pray. I believe that the Lord gave me this message to be the very first message of this event. Because to go through this event without prayer is a waste of time. I am hoping that at least one of you, maybe two, hopefully all of you, will come in here tomorrow morning. And instead of having the mentality, it's another Sabbath, another service, another sermon, come in here thinking, I'm going to walk in here to pray. Could you imagine? Church, could you imagine? I don't know what families are here, but could you imagine one of the families of this church, you walk in here at 9 o'clock on Sabbath morning, and one family is right here praying, and another family is right here praying, and maybe a boyfriend and girlfriend are right there praying, and a brother and sister are right here praying, and maybe you walked in here and you saw a visitor, and you grabbed the visitor and said, please let me pray for you and pray with you, and the both of you are praying in the back. Could you imagine, church, what would happen in the lives of those individuals and in the life of this church? If when you walked into the sanctuary, the first thing that you did before you greeted anyone was come in and pray. As I was growing up in church,
I grew up in Spanish churches. Listen. You don't see it as often now, but you still do see it. You walk into a Spanish church, and any brother or sister walks in, the very first thing that they do is go to the back pew, kneel down, and pray. How many of you will come in here tomorrow, and before you greet anyone, come in here and pray? But don't do it, "Oh, well, the elder said that I should do this, so let's go ahead and do it, because if not, it's going to look bad." In that case, don't even bother. You're not doing me any favors. You are not doing me any favors. But if the Holy Spirit touches your heart tonight, helps you to grasp the importance of prayer. Listen, church, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but to me it is amazing. To me it is amazing that the disciples spent years with Jesus Christ. They spent years with Jesus Christ. They saw him give sight to the blind. They saw him make the dumb speak, the lame walk. They saw him raise people from the dead. But the only thing that they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Listen, if it was me, I'd be like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? You're in the presence of Jesus and you're asking him teach you how to pray? What's wrong with you? The man does miracles. He raises people from the dead. Why are you asking him to teach you how to pray? Tell him to teach you how to raise people from the dead. Until it dawned on me. It dawned on me. The disciples were no fools. They were no fools. What is the one thing that they saw Jesus do every single day? Early in the morning, he got up to study Daniel and Revelation so that he can understand the 2300 days better. No, he didn't. He got up to pray. Listen, if there was someone that didn't have to pray, it was him. But yet nobody prayed like he did. I put two and two together. The disciples, they had to understand that the reason why Jesus Christ was able to do all the things that he did, the reason why he gave sight to the blind and made the dumb speak and the lame walk and raised people from the dead was because of the communication that he had with his Father. What kind of communication do you have with the Father? Seriously. You know, I've always wondered. In the days that we are living, we expect the final events to hit anytime. And the biggest final event that we as Seventh-day Adventists always talk about is what? Sunday law. Sunday law. Sunday law is coming. My question is,
church, what in the world are you going to do when the Sunday law comes? Do any of you even know what to do when the Sunday law comes? But I've wondered, okay, well, I heard somewhere that, I don't know if it was my Bible teacher at the academy or if it was Pastor Gomez or I don't know who it was, but I heard somewhere that when the Sunday law hits, we need to leave the cities. So my question is, when you get your family and you pack them into the car, getting ready to leave the city, what are you going to do, just take off? Is the car going to take you, what, up to Camp Cedar Falls? Or Pine Springs Ranch? Where are you going to go? Church, if you don't have the custom of praying to God now, what makes you think He's going to talk to you then? What makes you think that He's going to talk to you then? And you're going to be stuck in your car, in your driveway, with a full tank of gas and nowhere to go. Because God has given you no direction. Oh, now you want to talk to me? Now you want to talk to me? Of all of the decades that you have gone to church, you never prayed in church. And when they asked you to pray, you said, give me something else. And now you want to pray and you expect me to answer? Remember, God says very clearly that the time is going to come when you're going to be in trouble. And God says, I will laugh at your calamity. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, wait, but that can't be because Jesus is so loving. He wouldn't do that to me. Could you imagine? Could you imagine how different our lives and history would be if 9/11 never happened? Could you imagine how different our lives and history would be
KFHL Wasco, California, 91.7
all of a sudden
FM,
got sick.
Keep faith, hope, love.
And their plot got foiled. Could you imagine how different our lives and history would be if President Kennedy never made it to Dallas? Could you imagine how different our lives and history would be if we never had the COVID virus? Now, could you imagine how different our lives and history would be if my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray? God bless you, church.